the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Isaiah chapter 14. And verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. By the grace of God today, I want to preach about the I factor. The I factor. The deception of Satan. Amen. Hallelujah. Henry. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for this day today. We thank you for your spirit, your presence. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you for your presence here today. And Lamb of God, we desire to submit ourselves to your presence today. We desire to recognize and give reverence unto your presence today. We thank you, Lord God, for all the things that you've done and truly the things that you have yet to do. We magnify and we glorify the name of our God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, sister. You can come back. I've got a minute. The I factor. I pray that I follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost today, because God is determined to minister to us. He is determined to minister to us in a day that I believe that sometimes it's really difficult for the Lord to minister to us. We have just experienced, I believe, from my Christian experience, the ultimate presence of God. It's the ultimate of God's presence. The ultimate presence of God is when you come to a place in worship, and you come to a place where the presence of God brings you to a place that you recognize His sovereignty. Do you recognize His holiness? Do you recognize and acknowledge your condition compared to who He is? You can't have a deeper relationship. It goes beyond your supplication. It goes beyond your desires and your needs. And it gives us a glimpse of heaven in a different way. But it gives us a glimpse not of heaven as we all enter into heaven at one time. I think we experienced that on different Sundays when, you know, we're running the aisles and we're tearing up things and we really got this tremendous move of the Spirit. But today is a move of God to where every Christian finds himself alone in the throne room. It's just him and God, or her and God. You find yourself totally alone in the throne room, and you're not there for the purpose of receiving anything from God. You're there only for the purpose of acknowledgement that He is who He is. If you did not feel that deep sense of acknowledgement and conviction in your spirit, then you did not experience the same presence of God that I experienced. These are the times that Christians look for. This is the time that I always look for. I look for a time where I can be alone in the throne room with God. And it goes far beyond my desires and my wants and my needs. In other words, I don't have any time to talk about Him healing my body or putting food on my table or putting a roof over my head. But He becomes the food. And He becomes the roof. And He becomes the need. He becomes the God that He is. And He wants us to acknowledge it. He doesn't want us to wait till we get to heaven to acknowledge. Because I feel as though if we have to wait that far, that long, we probably won't make it there. God is trying to bring the church not only to a certain place of submission, but to a certain attitude about Him. He's trying to bring reverence back to the church. And the church has a tremendous problem with reverence. First of all, the major problem that many people have in the church today is they have problems with authority. They have problems with authority. If you can't serve under a man that you see, How can you serve under a God that you don't see? They have problems with authority. They have problems with allowing themselves to be taken over by the presence of God. Because God desires to deal with the I factor. The I factor. We all have problems with it. Every one of us have a problem with the I factor. And you know what? Every one of us have problems with authority. But it tells us something today, that when the Lord shows up, every knee shall bow. It shall bow. It will be no questions about what his presence will bring. I just pray and hope that we would understand that God wants us to acknowledge the fullness of what he is now. Because we had one individual that was a created being, that was created in the very presence of God. That built a revolution against the throne of God. Now, I don't know how anybody could build a revolution against God and born and created in his very presence. It's hard to fathom when you experience the presence of God. But there was someone that had those abilities, that had that desire. His name was Lucifer. Lucifer came to the earth and poisoned it through deception. The word Satan, or the name Satan, means deceiver. He poisoned the earth through deception. Deception. And of course, in Isaiah chapter 14, it reads, it says in verse 12, "How art thou fallen, O heaven, from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." The I factor. I will. Lucifer must have been a very courageous individual. But you notice one thing. It was not something that he went through heaven and he paraded. He did not parade this message to heaven. He did not go to every angel. Nor did he walk through the streets of gold and told everyone that he will do what he would do. The Bible says that it was his own heart. It wasn't because of what he said. It was because of what he desired. Not what he said. He never had an opportunity to act upon it. He never had the opportunity to act upon it. But he had the desire. Because in his heart, he said, I will. I'm determined. I will exalt myself as the Most High. He didn't understand his conditions. He didn't understand that even though he was an eternal spirit, he still had a beginning. God has no beginning or ending. He always was and always will be. He is the first and he is the last. And of course, here is Lucifer involved in the I factor. I will. I will. I will. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. What would make my question sometimes when I look at that particular scripture, I wonder sometimes what would make Lucifer, after all he's seen in heaven, possibly feel that way? He probably felt that way because maybe he never seen an image of God, even though he had an image. Maybe, you know, my understanding would be this. I think because of the fact is he had experienced the love of God. He took the love of God for a tremendous weakness. Many people take God's love for a weakness today. He took it for a weakness. Here he is in heaven dealing with the author and finisher of all things. Because God created everything because he had a desire for what? Relationship. The Bible tells us he did all things and he created all things for his pleasure. Relationship. This is why the ultimate thing or the ultimate position in life is relationship. We were made to the image and likeness of God, and the ultimate thing in life is relationship. When people can be successful in occupation, make all types of money, do all types of great things, conquer the world, and fail in their relationships. They fail in their relationships. And many have went, and many great men and women have went literally to their grave, feeling as though all of the things that they accomplished, they failed because they failed in their relationships. That's right. How many great movie stars or inventors or different people that we read about have done great things, and they, well, according to the world's expectations, they've done great things. And they went to their grave and they were married four times. They couldn't maintain a relationship. You know why? Because of the I factor. The I factor is dangerous. Because the first one that ever used the position of the I factor was Satan. Satan was the very first one. He did it in heaven. And the thing was, he didn't even get a chance to parade what he believed. He didn't even get a chance. He spoke it in his heart, and that's all he needed to do, was spoke it in his heart. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. In verse 12, it says, "Son of man, take up the lamentations upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum and full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, he's been in Eden, the garden of God. When Satan came to Eden, of course we know that he overtaken a creature, and I should say a four-footed creature at that time. If you read your scripture correctly, a snake then had legs. And he overtook the creature. And he inhabited that creature. But when he came, as the scripture says, if you follow the scripture, but when he came, hold it, you're a little too fast for me. Go back to 13. Oh, I'm sorry, go to 13. But when he came, is that thou hast been in the Garden of Eden. And when he came, he did not come as an ugly, hideous creature. You know, when the devil projects sin to humanity, he doesn't bring it to him in an ugly situation, does he? You know, when you walk out, I mean, years ago, maybe not now, but you walk out and you see a bill poster, and maybe it talks about some alcohol, and of course if it's alcohol related, they have some attractive woman that's there to seduce people into drinking alcohol. It's just like when what he did with cigarettes with the Marlboro man. Am I right? Tough guy, macho. He appealed to the nature of humanity after sin. And the appealment of to the nature of humanity after sin is the I factor. But of course he gives you this beautiful poster, makes up this beautiful poster, and makes everything glamorous. He does the same thing today with sport figures and rock stars, whatever figure you want to come up with today, he does it with all of them. But he never shows you the end results. He never showed you the Marlboro man dying in the hospital from cancer. Because you know he did die from cancer. The devil never takes you to on a tour through the cancer ward. Because I tell you all y'all young people, if the devil ever took you through a tour of the cancer ward, you would never ever consider smoking a cigarette, not one time. Am I right? That's all you had to do, go through the cancer ward. There's some pretty gruesome things in the cancer ward. You don't. Some people don't realize that. Do you realize that there's some people that are so addicted to nicotine that even though they're in a cancer ward and they're dying, they're still smoking through their necks. Do you realize that? Could you imagine how that might appear to see? But that's all connected to the I factor, all the way to the grave, all the way to the grave. It's the I factor. He never gives us gives us the position of the end result of what will take place or what might happen, because he knows in the fullness of our strength it's all about what we can do. Am I right? And so when he went in the garden, he didn't go in the garden dressed like man has him dressed. I say, you know, man has the devil today dressed in a red suit with a pitchfork in his hand, a long tail. He is not a hideous and an ugly creature. He's a beautiful one. The only problem with him now is that he has that outward beauty, but he's empty. And then it talks about, it says, and every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the tapioca, the diamond, the barley, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy temperance, of thy pipes was prepared in thee, and the day that thou had was created. The I factor. He was also the worship leader of heaven. Amen. So since the devil was the worship leader of heaven, he knows how to bring idol worship to humanity. Can he? He knows how to bring idol worship to humanity. No one knows anything better about music than he does. Am I right? Nobody knows anything better about music than he. I mean, could you imagine? He was the worship leader. He led all the cherubims and the seraphims into worship every morning. Hallelujah. So if he can bring worship to God, you know he can tantalize your ears with music. Huh? We do have to protect our children. We have to protect our children because our children are easily deceived, and sometimes even we can be deceived. Don't get me wrong, I don't have any problem with good music. I am a music lover, and I wouldn't tell anybody that the only thing I listen to is Christian music. That would not be true. I do listen to a lot of instrumental music that I enjoy. So I wouldn't tell anybody. The only thing I would listen to is Christian music. But I make sure what I listen to is wholesome. It's not corrupted. Amen? Hallelujah. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so, and thou was upon the holy mount of God, and thou hast walked upon and down in the midst of the stones of fire. My goodness. Hallelujah. Do you imagine? All of this he experienced by being in the very presence of God. Thou was perfect in thy ways, and from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Remember, he didn't parade it. He didn't go to the neighbors and say, I'm taking over tomorrow. Now, the Lord exposed it. The Lord exposes the conditions of our hearts. You know, the Lord's not going to judge you according to your actions. He's going to judge you according to your heart. Oh. Because the Bible says, out of the heart comes the issues of life. So anyone can come before me, because I can't see your heart. What am I trying to do? In the spiritual realm, the Lord is trying to get people beyond the I factor. Reason. It's a very simple reason. There is no God beside him. He doesn't know another God. If we are not humble in the presence of God, who will we be humble before? See, if the presence of God can't break you down, no man can break you down. No man can break you down if God's presence can't break you down. That's right, no man can break you down. And that's why there's many people that will never find salvation, because they refuse to be broke down in the presence of God. Because they refuse to be broken down in the presence of God, no man can break them down. No man can bring them down. No man can bring them to a place where they will bring reverence and credence to the presence of God. No man can do that. So if God comes in and hovers here in our presence, and we do not acknowledge it, it is no one else's position or fault but our own. God will never force a man's knee to bend. Do you hear me? Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying. Because the scripture says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is that where God is forcing someone's knee? No. He will not come to Brother Cam and tell Brother Cam, I want you to take your knees and push them under you and bow down. He will not do that. What will take place is that the presence of God will be so awesome and so holy and so potent that a man will not be able to stand. He will not have the ability to stand. Even though he might not believe it, he might not want to believe it, he might not have a love for Jesus, he might be against Jesus, but whatever his situation is, because the presence of Jesus and the presence of the Lord will be before him in such a miraculous and powerful way, he can't help but to bow. In other words, not only men shall bow, but everything in the earth and under the earth shall bow. And so so mankind has a tremendous opportunity today to overcome the I factor, because the I factor will stop you from bowing your knee before God. The I factor stops you from bowing your knee. The I factor stops you from serving God the way you should be serving God. The I factor. Let me read some I's to you. Let me tell you something about I. Hallelujah. Here's the condition of I. First of all, I am. Huh? I can. I can. I could. I couldn't. I do. I don't. I think. I thought. I said. I should. I want. I will. I wouldn't. I would not. I factor. Some can be positive. Some can be negative. When it comes to the presence of God, I hear more about I's than I hear about we. I hear more I than I hear we. This is what I want. This is what I need. This is why I won't. I hear more of that than I hear we. Because we include something. And we have the continuation of relationship. I mean, you know, just like if I would say my house, but it's our house. Am I right? It's our house. I don't live there alone. We live there collectively. The I factor. I. Genesis chapter 3. Put it up there for me, brother. Genesis chapter 3. Go to verse 3. But the fruit of this tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, and neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Go to 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, God lied to you. Deception. How long are we going to let the I factor deceive us? You know, the only real deception ever should have took place, especially right now, when I look at it, you know, we're not in the garden. Well, we're not dealing with deception in the garden. But still, Satan could come to us, even with the Holy Ghost, and tell us that the Lord lied to us. And we believe it. You know why you believe it? Because he infected us with the I factor. I'm looking at some of our young people in here. And the younger you are, the more you're infected by it. Amen. The younger you are, the more you're infected by it. Sometimes the girls don't realize how infected they're by it. You look in the mirror and you see how pretty you are, and you look at the world, and sometimes you want to look like the world, and you start thinking, well, I don't. Yeah, I bet. Some of the boys get in, and you know, they might be a bit athletic, and like my boys might be a bit athletic, and the first thing they think about is the I factor. I want to be like him, or I want to be like him. I want to play soccer like him. Everyone's struck with the I factor. And the younger they are, the more poison the I factor is. Because they're living in a structure of youth. Now, of course, naturally, when you start maturing and you get a bit older and you start gaining some things in life, you're poisoned with the I factor. The only bad thing about the poison I factor in your life is that sometimes you just got to a point where you're too stubborn to change. You're too stubborn to change. That's why the Bible says we need to be born again. Too stubborn to change. It's what I want to do. It's thick. I need to make these accomplishments. The I factor. Here's God might... The Lord might be trying to speak something else in your life, but you're too focused on what I'm trying to do. Huh? Amen. He's trying to speak something else in your life, but I need to get this done, Lord. Why? What do you need to get done in this world that's more important than the calling of God? What? How could any of us go to God and tell God my agenda and what I desire to do is more important than what you tell me I need to do? That's the I factor. That's the I factor. We hold back things from God and the obedience of God because we say, I need, I want, I don't have, I will not, I cannot, I could not, I should not. We hold back things from the Lord that God demands of us because of the I factor. And we justify what we're doing. We justify it and we make it right. But you can't find no scriptures to support it. You can't find no scriptures to support it. Especially when you're holding something back from God. Amen. Oh, I'm getting quiet up in here. Praise God. When you're holding something back from God, that God is telling you, say, listen, this is what I require of you. And as you hold it back from God, you can't find any scripture in the Bible that will support what you're holding back. That's right. Now, if the Lord requires it of you, you can't find it. But where have you justified it? That's where you justified it at. It's just like you were bitten by the snake itself. Am I right? Poison. Go to the next scripture, brother. 3 and 5. For God does know. Now here's the devil now. That God does know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Trick. There's truth in there, but it's trick in there. It was never God's intention for man to know the difference between good and evil. That was never God's intention. Amen? But God knew what man would do, because man was in flesh. He knew somehow that nature would slip out from under the gun. But it was never God's intention that man knew good and evil. Because once man had a knowledge of good and evil, he was subject to death. And he was also subject to the eye factor. Because the devil told him, say, listen, if he opens up your eyes, you'll be as gods. And you'll know, you'll have the same knowledge he had. That's why God didn't tell you. Ooh, he still tells that lie to the church today. He still tells that same lie to the church today. You'll be as God. You will never have the knowledge that God has. Amen. You might be spiritual beings in a physical tabernacle, which that's what you are. But you know, you see what the lie did for us, right? Now, why should we continue in the lie of the I factor? If God is telling us to surrender ourselves to Him, why should we continue in the lie? Why is that lie so strong within us? You know why it's so strong within us? It's so strong within us because we have been taught that lie from generation to generation to generation to generation. Degeneration. That's why. That's why it's so strong. It's so strong. Hey, we had that same spirit and nature over to our children. From generation to generation to generation. The lie factor. The I factor. The I factor. The I factor. I'm guilty of it. We do it all the time. One way or another. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying our intentions are bad. Our intentions are good. We want to build our children up, make them be strong. Amen. But of course, naturally, as you attempt to build your children up to make them strong, the world has a way of twisting the knife and the fork. Amen. To the point that he twists the knife and the fork so much that what happens is that later on, we find the very things that we taught our children become rebellion right before our face. Huh? She look at me like, you know how it is. Don't you? You know, I got. You know, sometimes I had to take Justin and kind of bounce him a little bit. Because look, you're not going to tell me what you're going to do. You don't tell me what you're going to do. You're going to do what I tell you to do. Amen. You're not going to tell me what you're going to do. But the eye factor says, well, you know, you hold it up now. Huh? I got a left hook and a right cross, man, will hurt you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Why? Because you're not going to tell me what you're going to do. You know why I won't let you tell me what you're going to do? Because you will learn the importance of dealing with authority. And I am the authority figure that God has placed before you. And you will do what I tell you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. Now, if I was out here fussing and cussing, drinking and smoking and running and chasing, then I might understand your rebellion. Amen. I understand your rebellion if I'm in all that activity and doing all those type of things. But I'm not in those type of activities. So you will do what I tell you to do. Amen. Because if you don't do what I tell you to do, you will pay the consequences. Could be the cracking house. Amen. Why? Because I'm trying to raise a boy to be a man. Amen. He'll be a worthless man if he doesn't understand anything about authority. Amen. Now I know it's the stiffness of the rod, but I mean that stiff rod, boy, hey, kept me straight. I'm telling you, that stiff rod kept me straight. Man, when I thought about the power of that rod, oh my goodness, man, I ain't messing with that. Amen. I wasn't messing with that. I was raised on the stiffness of that rod. And they weren't afraid to use it. But they didn't have to use it. Because I learned the position of authority. If you don't understand authority, you will not have reverence. You will not have reverence. You will not exercise reverence. You know, you will not, no one can mentor you or talk to you or give you direction. Because you're not listening to anyone because of the I factor. The I factor tells you, you know everything. You know more than he knows. Amen. That's what the I factor tells you. Until you walk into a wall. And then when you walk into the wall, oh, it just happened to get in my way. No, that wall was always there. Someone was trying to tell you that wall was there, but you weren't listening. Amen. But nobody could tell you because of the I factor. You can't tell. Who are you? Can't tell me. So if God can't tell you what you need to do in your life, what can man tell you? Nothing. Man can't tell you nothing. You know, the devil knew that too. You know why the devil, now listen y'all, y'all don't understand. Why did the devil come down to tempt man? To destroy him. Why did the devil want to destroy man? Because the devil, because man had something that the devil did not have. God gave us a kingdom. The devil didn't have a kingdom. You read the scripture? He gave us dominion over everything that he made. He gave us a kingdom. And the devil said, he stood up there and said, I will exalt myself. And here he finds himself out in the street. And then he said, well, my only chance of having the kingdom is I go down here and deal with these humans. There's only two of them there. So I better get them before they multiply. Huh? So he went down there because he knew that was the seed of humanity. And he tempted mankind and mankind fell. And the Bible tells us very clearly, if we read John, it tells us, trust not, love not the world, neither things in the world. Well, the world in that means a decorated society. are decorated. In other words, the world is decorated. It's decorated because it's not in the same condition that God intended it to be. And that's why you can go out there and talk to people and tell people about God, and they can't pick it up because they're caught in a decorated society. They are away from God. And in the midst of that decorating that place called the world, that's a decorated society, people can't comprehend the things of God. You have received the Holy Ghost, which it was imperative that a man have a born-again experience in order for him to overcome the decoration of the society that we live in. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. The only way you was going to have a chance of salvation or ever live in eternity was through a born-again experience. Don't let anybody tell you that you can only go to church and everything's going to work out fine. It is not true. It is no truth involved in it. It is an eternal lie. Because I says the I factor is at stake. It's what, it's people try to tell me all kinds of things. I listen to folks around my workplace and they talk about going to church and what they believe and what they don't believe. And I can be as fanatic as I want to be. I can be as strange and as weird as I want to be. But I know what salvation has done for me. And I can see whatever their position of salvation has done nothing for them. Why has it done nothing? They're not delivered. They live in sin. They promote sin. Why? How do they do that? Through the eye factor. Through the eye factor. Don't let nobody tell you that you don't need all this. Don't let nobody tell you that. People tell you that because of the fact is they don't want you to, they tell you that because they can't see any farther than their nose. It's all about them. The I factor. I will. I can. I do. I don't do. So many times we are distracted by, and this is, we are distracted by the things of this world, because the world, you know, when people come to you and tell you things about the church, here you got the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, you might have had a number of years, and they try to put into your mind how you are being robbed from portions of the world by serving God. They try to put into your mind that you are being robbed. That's right. They try to tell you, say, well, you know, you sure? Well, you know, the Bible said this and the Bible said that. They use scripture too. They try to put in your mind. You know why? And the reason why they can put that in your mind is because they know that in the flesh is a seed of the eye factor. So many people are not serving God today because of the eye factor. They slipped out the back door. I want to do this. Or I do this. Or I do. Man, I look at folks sometimes and thinking, ooh, that's pretty dangerous. That's pretty dangerous. Do you realize that you could walk outside these doors right here and decide never to turn back? Or, well, let me put it this way. You can walk outside these doors right here with good intentions, and God can shut you off where you never come back. Because sometimes people are so filled with eyes. I want you to understand the reality of what's being said. I want you to understand the reality. See, you know what? Here's the thing. The thing is this. We listen, but many times we don't hear. See, the gospel you got to hear with your heart. You can hear it with your ears. You know? Now, if the person's heart ain't right, and they hear something with their heart, and their heart's not right, they criticize the preacher. Huh? They say there's something wrong with me. It is something wrong with me. I'm saved. If salvation is a problem, I got it. Amen. If the Holy Ghost is a problem, I got it. I ain't trying to get rid of it. This is a coal I don't want to lose. Amen. Praise God. The eye fact. I will. He continues to lie to the church today. Every time he gets you out there in the world alone in the situation, he gets you in the workplace, he gets you at school, he gets you in all kinds of places. He projects these lies to you. He promotes those lies to you again and again and again. He wants you to become self-centered, self-righteous, whatever he can do, and just present that to you and say, okay. Let me ask a question before I close. We have seen people that have died holding on to the I factor. Because it's a spirit that grows in a person. Remember I said, with young people, they have the strength of their flesh and they're young and they don't think about death. They think that, man, it's going to go on and go on and go on from there. But as you begin to mature, and when I say mature, when you start getting like 35, 36, 37, life began to change. Don't get me wrong. You think it changed at 36, 37. You wait till you get 55. It does change. It really does change. And the thing is that and as you get to those ages, you become more stubborn. You become more set in your ways. Sometimes you become so set in your ways that God can't change you. God can't bless anything that he cannot change. He can't bless anything that he can't change. Some people think it's the preacher trying to change. I ain't trying to change nobody. You know why I ain't trying to change nobody? It takes too much energy. I ain't trying to change nobody. I ain't trying to change the soul. All I'm doing is preaching the gospel. I'm telling you what changed me. I ain't trying to change nobody. Huh? I'm serious. I got better things to do. I'm too busy trying to deal with myself. Take care of my family. Amen. But you are my family. Amen. So if anybody think I'm trying to creep up in your... Yeah. I see things in your life that you need to work on. But I got things in my life I need to work on too. Because of the I factor. I. That's why prayer is so important. Because the more that you pray, the more you be in the presence of God, the less I you think. The less you say, I think. I'm tired of hearing saints tell me what they think. I want saints to tell me what they know. Not what they think. I think. Well, I think, Brother Brad. Okay. All right. You think that way. If I tell you like that, you better be careful. Because I'm going to let you think that way. In other words, I'm not trying to persuade you. I've come to that point in my ministry. I'm not trying to persuade anybody. Amen. I will persuade you if I think that you can be persuaded. But if I think that you cannot be persuaded, I will not persuade you. I will pray for you. And I will let circumstance persuade you. I will let circumstance persuade you. And let me tell you something. Don't you think that circumstance can't persuade you? It can persuade you. God can bring you so far down on your knees to a circumstance. He can persuade you. He can. When he starts being... When the Lord starts taking things off of you, whether it be your flesh or your pocket or your life situation, your livelihood, it becomes serious then. That's why the devil told the Lord, said, if you take what he has, Job, and you deal with his flesh, he'll curse you to the face, to your face. But see, the thing was, the Lord allowed him to do what he did with Job because God knew what Job would do. See, the Lord knew what Job was going to do. And that's why I want to be a Job. I want the Lord to know. So when the Lord decides to pull up the hedge, I want the Lord to know that I'm on your side. That I'm on your side, God. Hallelujah. Amen. So if the Lord decides to pull the hedge up, if the Lord decides to pull the hedge up and you ain't ready, and the devil steps in, oh my goodness, it's serious then. It's serious then. Amen. But he knew what Job would do. He knew what Job, and that's why the devil went up and accused him. Listen, he knew man. You know why he knew man? Because of the eye fact. Man, I'm hurting God. My body's in bad shape. I ain't got no food in my icebox. My kids are starving. I need this. I need that. I want this. I want that. Oh, yeah. If he pull up that hedge, the devil will be glad to walk in. That's not saying that Job didn't make a mistake, but Job didn't let down his integrity. He says, in my flesh, I will see God. Praise God. In my flesh, I will see God. Job had an agenda. And it went beyond the eye factor. And I think that we need to get beyond that today. We need to get beyond it, y'all. We need to let the Holy Ghost work on us. Let me tell you something, and before, as I close here, there are some of you in here that have made up your mind not to do certain things for God because you have justified it and you have made it right. You need to consider. You made it right. You justified it. You have justification in the flesh. Justification in the flesh will rob you of the blessings of God in the spirit. That's right. The very thing that you're trying to hold on to, you'll lose it. You'll lose it. I want you to hear me. You will lose it. Trying to hold on to it, you will lose it. It will slip right through your fingers. If you're trying to be someone or come to a place that you want to do something wonderfully and great for God, submit yourself to Him. Too many people got the wrong idea. They come into the church, and I'm going to deal with one thing, one particular thing, a calling. A calling is just what it says. You got to be called of God. It's a difference between being called and sent. Amen. And so when you're called and before you're sent, all that time that you're called, you're supposed to be under total submission to whatever authority the Lord has placed over you. If you're not, you will never, ever be used in that calling. You will never be used in that calling. Because God is looking for men that know how to submit their will. Sometimes you say, well, it's not my, not my will, but thine will be done. But sometimes, here's what happens. In the position of a calling, it doesn't matter what you feel about it. Because many times God will put the perspective of your dislike in front of you to see what you'll do. Everything in your walk with God is a testing period. And so many men and women in their walk with God have failed the test. And that's why they have not received the blessing, because they have failed the test. They have failed the test. And so therefore what happens is, it's just like driver's training. Brother Jones went to driver's training. He took his test and he failed. And what happened? You had to be retested. And that's what the Lord does. That's what the Lord does. He retests you. But the Lord only gives you a few tries. And then he removes it. It might not hinder your salvation, but whatever you desire to do for God, you'll never get it done. You never get it done. Because you are too overwhelmed and consumed by the I factor. The I factor. It will rob you of blessings. It will rob you of the things that you're trying to keep. It will rob you. The Bible says if you lose your life, you'll do what? Huh? You'll gain it. When you lose your life, you'll gain it. Whatever your livelihood is, when you lose it, you'll gain it. As long as you try to hold on to it your way, you'll lose it. It'll slip through. You'll come back and you'll say, man, it was a small technicality and it's all behind me. But if I had just done that one thing, but that's not the point. The word of God is true. The word of God is true. It's too late. That small technicality can rob you because you were trying to hold on to it when you should have gave it over to the Lord. I want y'all to listen, because God's dealing with hearts here today. You know, I know we have some these young guys over here. The Lord's dealing with their hearts, but let me tell you something. There were times that dealing in ministry, I thought that I had some questions about what was being done. But I find that my questions were in vain, because of the fact is I really didn't understand. Sometimes, and many times, you don't really understand. The I factor is a dangerous position. Let's stand, y'all. I got to get you out of here. I will. Surrender your will. And the only way you can surrender your will before God is that even in your human mind, you can't even make a declaration to do it in your human mind. You can't. You can only find it through the presence of God. As you get in the presence of God, God empowers you to submit your will. You can't do it in the flesh. Why do I have to convince people that the Holy Ghost said you can't do it in the flesh? It's not a mental situation. It's spiritual. Because they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want y'all to come and deal with the I factor. The altar's open.